I guess I must have been young at that time too, because I remember driving to Jacksonville, and it wasn't a very far drive to me because we were having a men's retreat that weekend, and so I was at St. Augustine at that point. We were having the men's retreat in St. Augustine, and we got word that Chris and John Taylor had been, well, not Chris and John, but in a difficult situation. God is good, amen?
Amen?
He's good even when it doesn't seem like it. He's good even when bullets are flying. He's good even in the midst of the fire. I can share that testimony, and I'll do that sometime. Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, we do thank you for the worship team and the great testimony we heard this morning, God, that you are a mighty God and that your faithfulness, God, extends to all generations, God, and that your love is everlasting, God. Hallelujah, Lord. God, and I pray this morning that you would work mightily in the hearts of everyone here, God, this morning, and in a mighty way to that your kingdom would come, God, that your will would be done on earth just as it is in heaven, God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. One of the things that I have noticed over the 40 years since I've been a Christian, 40 plus years since I've been a Christian, 45 years, but who's counting, right? is that God works through me for some reason. And it's not because of anything about who I am. He just chooses to do that. And my question to God all the time is, why? Why me, God? Why me? And I don't understand it. But I am of the firm belief that God will do the same thing with you.
Amen.
The very same thing that God has done through me, he will do through you. And I think the biggest tragedy is if you leave here today and don't know that. Think about that. You need to know that God will work through you in a mighty way. Big faith, little faith. As long as you have some faith, I believe, this faith the size of a mustard seed, that God will use you. And so this morning I want to talk about God using us. And Steve stood up and shared the five things that God gave us through Jesus. And I actually have a sixth thing that God gave us, and that's his Holy Spirit. He gave us his Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And we see the move of the Holy Spirit through the church, throughout the New Testament, in Scripture. And there's many people that today that, you know, they kind of want to play that down. They don't want that to be a big deal. And I think that's the devil that doesn't want that to be a big deal. And people that are well-meaning or just plain wrong and anti-Christ in that aspect of playing down the Holy Spirit. I've had people tell me that it was the devil. It wasn't the Holy Spirit, it was the devil. And I think, you know, those people, their feet ought to be getting singed for saying something like that, because it is the Holy Spirit. It's not the devil. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. And so throughout the New Testament, we see Paul frequently talking. I mean, we're talking 20, 30 years after Jesus ascended into heaven. And Paul is talking about the Holy Spirit moving in power. And I've heard people say, well, you know, that was okay through the life of Paul and through the life of the apostles. But when they died, as if the church was based upon their strength and their power. When they died, the Holy Spirit no longer moves. But the church was never based upon their power and their strength and their holiness or their righteousness. The church was always based upon the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Pardon me if I get a little excited, but I want to look this morning at the first outpouring of the Spirit, and actually we're not even going to get that far. We're going to stop in Acts chapter 1, but I just want to look at the promises of God this morning. In Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it begins like this. In the first book, O Theophilus, stop right there, who's writing the book of Acts? Who? Luke. Well, the Holy Spirit, yeah. Luke is the physician. Luke, the disciple of Paul, is writing the book of Acts, and he was the one who wrote the gospel according to Luke. And so that's what he's referring to there when he says, in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. And notice there, he's saying Jesus began. What did he? Jesus began it all, and he began it through his ministry, and it hasn't stopped. It's not going to stop until Jesus says stop. He says in the first book, O Theophilus, I dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. Verse 2 says, until the day when he was taken up. Look at this next, until the day he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, after he had given commands. So here we have a picture of, Luke is drawing us a picture of Jesus meeting with the apostles after he rose from the dead, after he died on the cross. He's meeting with the apostles and he's giving commands through the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Giving commands through the Holy Spirit. I mean, I could picture in my mind all kinds of things. You know, how would somebody standing there, an observer, watching Jesus give these commands to the apostles, how would they know that he was giving them through the Holy Spirit? I mean, I picture in my mind Jesus was speaking in tongues, obviously. You're supposed to laugh. Okay. We don't know, right? We don't know what that means. We don't know, you know, and sometimes, preachers go through these cycles for 2,000, we have 2,000 years of history now, okay? And preachers go through these cycles where they think, well, spontaneity is the sign of the Holy Spirit. When somebody does something that was unplanned, that's a clear sign it's the Holy Spirit. I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, you know, certainly spontaneity is good. I like that. You know, I like to be spontaneous probably as well because I'm being spontaneous right this very second. I didn't plan to say this. Well, I don't know. Maybe the thought popped in my mind. But here's the thing. You know, I don't know if I agree with that. You know, there were years when Finney and Charles Wesley and all these guys, they never made notes. Some of them, they would just stand up and began to speak, and it was spontaneous, but it wasn't spontaneous. We think because they didn't plan to speak on this, that it was spontaneous. But, you know, these guys spent hours and hours and hours in prayer and Bible study throughout the week. And so they were prepared to be used by God. And that's my plan in my life. I spend hours and hours and hours in prayer and Bible study and memorizing and reading to be prepared. And so I don't think it's spontaneity in necessarily, but it could be. I mean, sometimes the Spirit will grab you, right? Sometimes something will grab your attention and you'll think, oh, like Steve was last night, he was reading through, or yesterday or whenever, it was reading through 1 Corinthians 11 or maybe in the Gospels where Jesus performed the Last Supper, and it came to his mind, oh, look at these things that God gave us. And so I think it's just being aware of the Spirit of God in your life and moving as you feel God moving by faith. That's what I think, giving commands through the Holy Spirit, he was moving as the Spirit led him. Let's go on, and the next verse is even cooler. Verse 3 says this, he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs. He presented himself alive. He was making sure that they knew that he wasn't a ghost, that he wasn't, you know, that he was really physically with them. He was meeting with them physically. They saw him with their eyes. They touched him with their hands. They ate with him. And so Jesus was verifying the resurrection. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, seeing, feeling, touching, talking to him, and eating with him. And then it says this, it says, by many proofs, appearing to them for 40 days he did that, speaking about the kingdom of God. It means that he wasn't done with them. Speaking about the key, it means I'm not done with you guys. You guys are not done. Yes, the cross has happened. The crucifixion, the death, the burial. On the third day, he rose from the dead, and he's going to ascend into heaven. Those great five gifts that God gave us have already happened, but there's something else. God's not done. He's not done with you. He's not done with me. And whether you're here this morning and you're 17 or 7D or 87 or 97, God's not done with you. They needed, his apostles needed something else. What was it? Most of you guys know where I'm going with this. What was it they needed? Let's look at verses 4 and 5. It says, and while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem. He was living with them. He was alive, physically living with them. He ordered them not to depart Jerusalem. Don't leave Jerusalem, but what? Wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Hallelujah. And so Jesus is actually referring back to the very beginning of his ministry. John the Baptist was going throughout the region and he was baptizing people in the baptism of repentance, baptizing them in the Jordan River and dunking them in a baptism of repentance. And John stood up and says, you know, this is really great. The crowds are coming out. Even the Pharisees are showing up, those vipers. And he said, but hey, guess what? Someone is coming after me who's the thongs of his sandals I am not worthy to untie. He is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Amen. And so Jesus is basically opening the door for what's going to happen next. And so what is that? That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now here's where I take theological exception to those who say that the Holy Spirit isn't baptizing people anymore. That was only for the apostles. Where does it say that? It doesn't say that. It doesn't say it in the Bible, right? The closest thing that anybody can come up with to say that it doesn't happen anymore is 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul says there will be tongues, there will be prophecies, and they will cease when that which is perfect is come. And so they, in their mind, they say, well, those things have ceased. So obviously that which is perfect has come. What is perfect? Jesus hasn't come back yet, so it's not that. Well, it's the Scripture. And so they point to the canonization of the Scripture, with made it authority, and say that's what's perfect. And so we don't need tongues anymore. And that's what they're specifically referring to. But then are they also saying we don't need prophecy anymore? I think the Apostle John would say, you know, we need prophecy. We need that. The book of Revelation is about the very end of things, and that's a prophecy that's not ceased and is still happening. And I think there's no indication in Scripture that that's supposed to happen, that things are just supposed to, you know, just kind of continue on, and we're just going to look at Scripture. The Holy Spirit, we don't need that anymore. We have Scripture. I think most of you are with me. I'm preaching to the choir. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so one of the things that people say is that when Paul talked about being filled with the Spirit, that he wasn't talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When he was talking to the Galatians, and I think it was Galatians or Ephesians, he said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That he was talking about being saved. But why was he talking to brothers and sisters in Christ about being saved, who were already saved in theory, right? He was saying they needed something more. And so I'm saying this morning, we need something more. I need something more. I need something more. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. And some people get confused and think that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that we're baptized into the body of Christ. That's not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is saying, John the Baptist said, one is coming and he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said to his apostles, he said, but wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. That's the promise of the Father, that he, Jesus Christ, is going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. And Paul, in 1 Corinthians 12, is saying we are baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. He's talking about something different. He's talking about salvation. When you become saved, and I've heard... what's your husband's name? Bruce. Bruce, stand up here and say that when we're saved, we are baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and baptizes us into the body of Christ. That's what 1 Corinthians 12 is talking about. And people say, well, that's the same thing as Acts. It's not. It's totally different. In Acts, it's Jesus Christ baptizing us into the Holy Spirit, pouring out the Holy Spirit upon us, drenching us, immersing us in the Holy Spirit. We need something more. I'm kind of being spontaneous, Billy, so I'm going to skip some scriptures. Put up Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Jesus is talking to, this is the 24th chapter of Luke, the very end of Luke. And if you remember, Acts is volume 2 of Luke's writings. Luke being volume 1. In volume 1, he says in Acts 24, verse 49, he says, Jesus says, "And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And we see that same thing happen in Acts chapter 2. This apostles, the disciples, were all in one room and they were praying and seeking God. And suddenly, what does it say? And suddenly there was a sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were. And there appeared to them tongues of fire, and they all began to speak in tongues, and something happened. And the only way that they could describe it was the sound of a rushing mighty wind, and they saw tongues of fire, visually saw this vision of fire, and they began to speak in other tongues and poured out. They were so filled with the Spirit that they couldn't stay in the upper room there, and they were poured out into the streets, and they were going around speaking in tongues, and they were speaking in a language that they didn't know, that other people recognized. And they said, "These people are going around praising God in my own home language. How do these Galileans know my home language?" It was a miracle. It was a great and mighty miracle. And so, first of all, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not something that comes automatically with salvation. It's subsequent to it. The apostles were saved. They were disciples of Jesus. They were followers of Jesus. Jesus had died on the cross. He'd risen from the dead. Their sins were forgiven. They were saved. But they needed something else. And that's what the church needs today. We don't need to be powerless sitting on pews in churches, nice air-conditioned churches. And it's nice. It's nice having this air-conditioned church. But we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit more than we need an air-conditioned church building. Say amen. Yeah, thank you, Pauline. Oh, and I'm glad, Pauline Proctor, thank you for coming here this morning. It's good to see you. Thank you. A couple years ago, I think it's been almost 2 years, Pauline fell and broke her hip and spent nearly a year in recovery. Amen. So it's good to have you with us this morning. When the Bible goes through, in the New Testament, when the Bible talks about being filled with the Spirit, this happened over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. It continued to happen. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost was the initial outpouring, and it was accompanied, I believe, by special signs of the sound of the rushing mighty wind, the tongues of fire, tongues, and other incidences in the New Testament were accompanied by tongues, also speaking in tongues, but they were all for a purpose. It wasn't just for their own titillation, just for their own gratification. It wasn't just entertainment. It was for a purpose. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Why? Well, that's what Acts 6 through 8 talks about. Jesus says, it says verse 6, and so that when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but, verse 8, in other words, forget that question. That's not what you need. You want to know if this is the time for the kingdom. That's God the Father's purview. But what you need to know is this. But you will receive receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And that's what the Holy Spirit is for. It is power and empowerment that the church needs. We need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And you will be my witnesses. And I think part of that empowering is to be witnesses. But I think it's a power for ministry, to minister to people. We were talking this morning in class this morning about ministry. Now, outside these doors, when we go out into the workplace, we find ourselves surrounded by and spending time with heathen. Yeah. Heathen! Using bad language and but you know what? That's what that power is for. That's why we're here, is for those people. We're not saved so that we can come to church on Sunday morning and clap our hands and dance and have fun. I mean, that's part of who we are. We worship God and we rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, right? That's part of who we are. There's nothing wrong with that. That's good. But the powering of the Holy Spirit is for ministry to people who need us and need Jesus. And they need us. And I say that, you know, they need Christ in us. Let me give you some examples of the apostles being filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. But it continues on. It doesn't just stop there. Acts chapter 4, verse 8 says, Peter, being filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people, and this is two chapters later. This is after the initial day of Pentecost. This is time. It could be months, weeks later, months, even a couple of years later. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. So it's saying that that Acts chapter 2 wasn't just a one-time thing. Once and for all, we're going to pour out the Holy Spirit, and that's it. It keeps happening. Let's move on. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. It says they were praying, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. It continues. Acts chapter 6, verse 5. They chose deacons. And one of the people they chose was Stephen. And it says, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Now you know what happened to Stephen. Acts chapter 9, verse 17. Paul gets saved. He gets blinded in the midst of getting saved, and then he goes to Damascus. And it says, in Damascus, Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on Paul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 11, verse 24. This is talking about Barnabas. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Acts chapter 13, verse 9. Paul again. And Paul, who was called, and Saul, who was called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him. So this is something that continued to happen. And we see it throughout Paul's writings. I remember I was reading in Romans, I think it was Romans 13, and Paul was saying, you know, we have declared the gospel to you. And that's, you know, that's what we do. We declare the gospel. But he says, accompanied with signs and wonders. That's the power of the Holy Spirit to bring about miracles and to bring about healings. Signs and wonders. We need to expect these things to happen. This is what God does. Now, I've often said, and I want to put my little asterisk here. This is, you know, I've often said, people who live for signs and wonders are Antichrist bait. Because the Antichrist is going to come and he's going to bring signs and wonders. But that doesn't mean that we're not supposed to have signs and wonders. This is what Paul talked about. He said, when I declared to you the gospel, it was accompanied with signs, with power.
Right.
We need the power of God in our lives, and that comes through the Holy Spirit. Let me finish with this. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. It was on the day of Pentecost, and the disciples, the apostles, had already been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And Peter stands up to preach to the crowd that gathered because of the excitement that was happening because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And he says this, did I never put that one in there? Well, that's okay. I'll quote it to you. Peter stands up and he says this. He says, repent and be baptized and you will be saved, for the promise of the Holy Spirit and you and the Spirit will be given to you also. And so this is what was part and parcel, was becoming a Christian, was also getting the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so I think one of the drawbacks to the emphasis upon salvation by faith is that that's all there is. You get saved, you believe in Jesus Christ, you're saved, that's it. And I think that kind of attitude results in Easter Christians, Christians who just come to church on Easter, Christmas Christians who just come to church at Christmas. You know, I just want to fellowship with my brothers and sisters once a year. And that's okay, but, you know, I don't have a real problem with that. What I have a problem is that every day they're missing out on God working through them. And so that's what we need. We need that every day, God working through us. When we get up in the morning and we go about our day, going to work or going to the store or whatever, we interact with people and God can use us to work through us if we're open to that. I think Steve Greer here, every day, most every day, you go to the store, right? And you interact with workers at the store, and you have an opportunity to let Christ work through you with customers. And I think John Taylor builds cabinets for people. He has customers. Dory goes to work with 70, 80 people every day, and you have opportunity to let Christ work through you.
And I said, we have our granddaughter.
And you have family.
And that we, God works through us for
our families. Amen.
And our families as well.
You're right. And God is working through you too, each and every day when you go out and Marie graciously comes to the church once or twice a week and cleans. And, you know, you might think, well, cleaning, that's such a mundane thing. Christ, we don't need Christ to work through us when we're cleaning. I say we need Christ working through us all the time, whether we're cleaning or whether we're standing up on Sunday morning sharing a testimony like Chris and John did, or whether I'm standing up sharing my heart, unburdening my heart for you, is that God would fill you with His Holy Spirit. So let's close in prayer, but let's close in ministry. Let's close in a time of seeking and waiting for God. Speak loudly for the hearing impaired.
You know, the temple, when it was dedicated, it was cleansed by all the sacrifices, you know. And the glory of God came. Jesus cleanses us. And so that's why, you know, He did the circle, like what you were saying. And that was so that Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith to dedicate us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, so that
Amen. Amen.
And this week I was able to go to a restaurant and have lunch with one Muslim woman, and then at another restaurant with another Muslim woman. So they could, two of them, and they were asking questions. You know, it was a dialogue where we could speak freely. And just to give a reason for the hope that's in us. We need Amen. To do it more.
Amen. Christ God will use you wherever you are. Empower you with His Spirit. And you might not feel empowered, but that's what faith is about, when you just trust that God is in it. Trust God. I was at Burger King, okay? I confess, I went to Burger King. I was at Burger King last week with Craig Marlette, and we were being waited on by this lady who had all these tattoos all over her. And they looked like Hindu tattoos. There was like Hinduish looking things. I don't even know what they are, but and Craig says, "Are you Hindu?" And she says, No, I just like this stuff." And Craig says, "Well, let me tell you about something really cool. I got saved and Jesus Christ is real." And he began to witness to her. And the Holy Spirit began to move through Craig Marlette. And I would like to say just an ordinary man, but we all know that Craig Marlette is not an ordinary man. But you know what I mean? You don't have to be Craig Marlette. You don't have to be Billy Graham. You don't have to be as outgoing as Karen Roberts. God can use you. And will use you if you just trust Him. I'm feeling like I don't want to just close in prayer and end. I want. Would you guys, let's gather up front here and we'll join hands and pray. Would you do that with me? Would you, everyone, come up and don't be shy. Don't feel, you know. And I realize there's some that have physical disabilities. Would you please come up and we'll join hands and pray for one another.
Chris Link having surgery tomorrow.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, bring Billy up here. And Kurt. Come on up, guys. Hallelujah. Everyone, I don't want anybody to feel like this is not for you. This is for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Father God. I'm going to squeeze through here. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Would you just begin praying right now? Pray for the person that you're holding hands with. Pray with the person on your right, and pray for the person on your left right now. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, Lord God. Father, we do thank you, God, for your spirit in our lives, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Fill us, God, with your spirit, God. Pour your spirit out upon us, God. In Jesus' name, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord God. God, and as we go out from here today and go about our lives, Lord God, lead us and guide us throughout the days and weeks to come and years, God, to be your servants in the community, in our neighborhoods, in our families, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. God, use this church, Lord God, in a mighty way, God. We are your servants, God. Use us, God, throughout this community, that we can proclaim the greatness of you, our Father God. Great is thy faithfulness. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Greet one another with a hug and a holy kiss before you leave. Amen.